said in the poet's Salvation Too, our dying God is finished and complete. He paid whatever his people owed and canceled all their debt. I'm somewhat surprised if I preach tonight. I don't have a thing in the world. I wasn't even thinking about having to try to preach and really didn't intend to come because I hadn't attended service at night since I had my last, I had a flare up about 3 weeks ago, and so haven't been too well. But some way or another, I felt I wanted to come. I had no idea trying to have it preached tonight. And so we won't stand very long, and we trust that you can remember us in your prayers. And I'm not going to take up time to make preliminary remarks because I must get right into the subject. It's a man to follow, and we trust that God will bless him with sweet liberty to preach. For the love of God, or Christ, constrains us. I'm reading in the fifth chapter of 2 Corinthians, beginning at the 14th verse. For, or because, the love of Christ constrains us. And that pronoun us in the plural. Us. God's children. And should move us out to act in love and in obedience to the commandments of Jesus Christ. For the love of God, Christ constrains us because we thus judge that if one died for all, then we're all dead. And I'd like to take time to qualify or to explain this because there's a whole lot embraced in this. Now, Paul here is expressing the thought is that if one died for all were dead. Well, who were they all under consideration? If you say it's the Adamic race, then he died for the Adamic race. And so we have to be careful here in making the discrimination and find out what the all is and who are embraced in the all. And that he died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him who died for them, and rose again. Wherefore, means for this reason, henceforth, from now on, know we no man after the flesh. Yea, though we have known Christ after the flesh, yet now, henceforth, from now on, know we him no more. That is, after he was crucified and after he went back to glory, we don't know him no more in the flesh. Therefore means for this particular reason, therefore if any man, generic, woman, boy, or girl, therefore if any man be in Christ, he is. Not going to be at some future time, but he is in the present tense, now, right now. If any man in Christ, he is a new creature. Well, the reason why? Because God has created him in a new creation. We are Adam's creation, and Adam must be in the creation. And we are the regeneration in the Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. All things are passed away, and behold, all things are become new. And all things are of God. Now, we have to be careful here in making the discrimination because there's some things not of God. All things are of God. Who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation. To wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. So I want to talk to you tonight about reconciliation. What is accomplished by it? Now then, that being so, he stated a fact up there as to what he's now going to make a statement here. Now then, in the present tense, we, in the plural pronoun, we, God's ministers, the Apostle Paul and somebody is writing to, we are ambassadors. Not for Uncle Sam, no. Here's an ambassador that's far superior to our ambassadors here, because the ambassadors of our country are appointed by the president, the highest executive power in the United States, to represent this country and its dealings with another country. It's called, in politics, diplomacy. Yes. And a diplomat, ambassador is a diplomat to represent this country to another country and its dealings. That's what he's appointed for. Now Paul here brings it down and says, we are ambassadors for Christ. As though God did beseech you by us, we pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled. Now, if you can find out why that it's necessary to call for an ambassador and what their work is, you found out about what God's ministers are. They are to represent God Almighty and His dealings with you. As to what God has done and what God is doing and what God will continue to do. And so therefore, God's ministers speak with the authority of the God of the universe. As an ambassador, he has not the right to go over there and inform any law. He has not any right to go over there and dictate to those people, but he is only to represent this country through the diplomacy and whatever the president has for him to say. He has the authority, backed by the United States, to testify of the dealings of this country with that country. And so therefore, God has called some men to preach the everlasting gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ and tell God's people of what God has done and what God is doing and what God will continue to do. And then Paul said, he wants you and beseeches you or begs you, and God said, be ye reconciled. And if we were to take up and discuss the subject of salvation, I feel in my heart this evening that God's already devised a plan long before the world was made, that He devised and sit in council with the Son and with the Holy Ghost, the three one God, and not only so, but in that wonderful covenant of grace, God Almighty gave to Jesus Christ a people that was before the world was. So, in that holy agreement, Jesus Christ agreed to come and suffer and bleed and die and make the atonement in order to redeem or purchase those that God gave him and save them from their sins. Well, that was before that I had my being. That was before the world was, and so therefore God wants me to bow my head in humble submission and be reconciled. And the definition of the word reconciliation simply means this, that the adjustment has been made, the difference has been adjusted, and peace has been restored. And so if we were enmities with God, and God was offended, and therefore we were separated and alienated because of sin, Jesus Christ has come here on this earth and suffered for sin, the just for the unjust, that He might bring us to God. He's brought peace to our soul. He's reconciled us to God by His death. And therefore, the adjustment has been made. And God's wrath is appeased. And we at one with God. And so therefore, for that particular reason, Paul here is saying, be ye reconciled. Be ye reconciled. To what, Paul? To what Jesus has done. What Jesus has accomplished in His death, in His burial, and in His glorious, blessed resurrection. Well, what has He accomplished in that? Is there anything that I can add to it? No. Well, why? Because the Bible says, whatsoever God does shall be forever. Nothing can be put to it, not nothing taken from it. And God does it, that man should fear before him. But Peter died. What did he die for? The Bible comes back and said, if while we were enemies, if while we were alienated and separated from God Almighty, without hope and without God in the world, it said, if while we were enemies, we were reconciled to God. Not that God was reconciled to us, but we were reconciled to God. And much more, being reconciled, we shall be saved by His love. And so we see something that Jesus accomplished. And that inasmuch as He had accomplished that, then He wants us to bow our heads and be in humble submission to what He has done. He has adjusted the matter. He's brought peace. And therefore, God's holy and God's righteous law is exonerated. And for that reason, we stand justified freely by God's grace through the redemption that's in the Lord Jesus Christ. And I know that's exactly what Paul here has under consideration. Why? Because he said so here. As though God did beseech you by us, we pray, we beg you to be reconciled. The greatest person on earth, the happiest person on earth today, is a person that can bow his head under any circumstances and under every condition and be resigned and be reconciled to whatever may come. I know there's things that we can do that we might murmur and that we might complain and that we might talk about, but there's things over which we have no control, and the best thing we can do is to bow our head and be submissive and reconciled. And so it is with God's people. They should bow their heads in humble submission and thank God from the deeps of their heart that the debt paid up and that they stand justified freely by God's grace through the redemption that's in the Lord Jesus Christ, as though they never committed a sin. Oh, I'm so thankful that Jesus is paid. As the poet expresses, He's paid it all. It's all to Him alone. No sin is left. A crimson stain, He's washed me white as snow. Yes. Why? Well, because He loved. Because He loved. And therefore, for that reason, I want to be reconciled. I might compare it this way. Suppose that I was to make a chain, and we see that we would dwell ever meet in that chain. So much, so long. And if we were to put one link in that chain that was inferior to the other links, it would break and asunder the chain. And in my sincere, honest opinion, there was a chain because John, on the Isle of Patmos, and I believe it in the 20th chapter, he said, I saw an angel come down from heaven, having the keys of the bottomless pit, and in his hand was a great chain, and he laid hold on that old serpent, the devil, and shut him up, bound him for 1,000 years. And so, if Jesus Christ had a chain in his hand, and he came down for the death of us, and if he did the purpose of the person with me, did you accomplish that which God sent him to do? If you accomplish that which God sent to do, we read in the Bible in another place in Revelation, and he said, I saw in the right hand of him that sat upon the throne a book written within, and on the backside, sealed with 7 seals. And I know it wasn't this Bible. I know it wasn't here. Well, how do you know it wasn't it? Because this is the written, and this is the revealed word of God to man. But that is a book that John saw as one that stood upon the throne, and in his hand he held the book, and it was written within, and sealed on here with 7 seals. And I heard an angel crying with a loud voice and saying, who is worthy to open the book and to loose the seals and to look thereon? And there was no man in heaven. No man in heaven. And he comes down upon the earth, and he begins to search, and he finds that there's no man on the earth. Then he goes under the earth, and I don't know what that means, unless it's a dead. And he said to his son, and I wept much. I thought the darkest picture that ever could be presented to the human mind. And I wept much. Here's the instruction of the judgment of Almighty God resting upon the entire human race
justly held bound. And if I went to hell, it's been just because of my sins. And as John wept there on that holy occasion, the elders said, "Weep not, John, for the behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah has prevailed." And when that blessed Son of God taken that book and opened the seals, there was 24 elders, and the 4 beasts stayed around about the throne, and they fell on their faces, and they began to sing as it were a new song, and saying, "Thou art worthy to loose the book, and to loose the seals, and to look thereon, for thou wast slain, and hast redeemed us." I don't know how many of the word "us" in the plural pronoun, but I know this. I know it's not Uncle Sam to us, but I know it means everyone for whom Jesus died for, and everyone that God gave to him in the covenant of grace, before the world was, and you can't add one to it, and you can't take one from it, and Jesus died for a definite specific number, and so therefore, bow your heads and be reconciled of what Jesus has done and what Jesus has already accomplished. And if you do, you won't be worrying about the salvation of poor, lost, and ruined sinners, because God will take care of that. And that's exactly what he wants you to do. He wants you to be reconciled, submissive. Well, suppose then that chain had an inferior link, as I stated, and every link was well. See me. Now, this inferior link was to break. It was sunder the chain. And I'm taking a position tonight that what Paul meant when he said, "We are ambassadors for Jesus Christ, as though God did beg you by us to be reconciled, be submissive to what Jesus, God's darling Son, has already accomplished." And in my sincere opinion is, if you can sunder the plan of salvation and break one link in the doctrine of grace, you've sundered the whole plan. Because if God made choice, and I've not got time to take up that and dwell on any particular point, but as a kosher text, Paul said, "For we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to God's purpose, for whom God did foreknow." And if you get that W-H-O-M, whom there, that's a pronoun, and it has reference to the person and not the thing. Now, we had some old Baptist that we fell out back yonder years ago and set up bars for preaching that God almighty predestinated every act and everything that takes place in time. But the word "whom" does not imply and does not denote things out here that's wicked. Why? Because it's a pronoun and it's personal. And for whom God did foreknow, he also did predestinate that they should be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brothers. Didn't stop. Elder Newman said one time, he said, "We've got lots of old Baptist preachers that go over preachers." And that's true. Yes. Just go over and go over and go over. But he said Paul was a moreover preacher, and I like a moreover preacher, because he didn't stop there. He said, "Moreover, something in addition to this." What is it, Paul, that you have something in addition to God's elected grace and to God's predestinated love? I have something in addition to tell you of what God's done. Moreover, whom he called out, that he also them whom he predestinated, him he also called, and whom he called, then he also justified, and whom he justified, then he also glorified. And lift up his eyes and says, "What shall we say to these things in the plural? What we're going to say to God's election? What we're going to say to God's predestination? What we're going to say to God's redemption? To the merits of the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ? What we're going to saved to the justification that's atoned for us in the blood, and I stand and put it in outside for my guilt, and so I never committed offense. Therefore, Paul can come back and he say, what shall we say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? He that spared not his only Son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Election, predestination, redemption, our justification, regeneration, and the resurrection, which will take us home to glory. That's good enough for me.